Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran Music. Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
In your own time, gentlemen.
Must be something big if the channel's here.
You have a brother in the 2nd Battalion.
If so.
They're walking into a trap. Your orders are to deliver a message calling off tomorrow morning's attack. If you fail, it will be a massacre.
We've got orders to cross here.
That is the German front line.
Hold back!
If we're not clever about this, no one will get to your brother.
I will.
That's the trailer for the Oscar-nominated movie 1917. It is set, obviously, on the battlefield of World War I. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, reviewing movies nominated for Best Picture at the forthcoming Oscars today, 1917. Our guest is Pastor Ted Geese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada, titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. I began our conversation asking Ted for a list of the best directors.
So the nominees for best directing are The Irishman, so that's Martin Scorsese, Joker, that's Todd Phillips, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that's Quentin Tarantino, and that's one that we've already talked about on Issues Etc. in the past. And then Parasite by Bong Joon-ho, who is a Korean director, and then 1917 by Sam Mendes. And 1917 is a super interesting film. It's a movie, like, Sam Mendes is a director. People would know him actually from James Bond movies most recently, from 007 films. He did Spectre in 2015. He did Skyfall in 2012. And he's also done films like Revolutionary Road in 2008, Jarhead, which is a war film, 2005, and The Road to Perdition, which has Tom Hanks in it, 2002. And then he also won the Oscar for Best Direction for American Beauty in 1999. And that film that year won Best Picture as well.
So let's talk about 1917. I'll just be quite honest with you. Watching the trailers on television for it, it appears to be one guy running through a lot of different battlefields.
Yeah. Well, this is set on a particular day, April 6th, 1917, during World War I. What happens is that this general, Aaron Moore, played by Colin Firth, sends Lance Corporal Blake and Lance Corporal Schofield, played by George MacKay and Dean Charles Chapman, deep into no man's land in order to get orders to Colonel Mackenzie, played by Benedict Cumberbatch. And essentially they're sent, they're all waiting in the trenches. This is trench warfare, World War I. They're waiting in the trenches for the big push, and they've discovered that the Germans have actually dropped back. And there's one colonel, so this Mackenzie, Colonel Mackenzie, thinks that they have the Germans on the rope, but they're actually about to fall into a trap. The Germans have made more fortified positions further back away, and they're just about to waltz right into a big giant trap. So these two lance corporals are being sent with orders to stop the attack from the allied forces so that they won't waltz into that attack, into the big trap. So avoiding the trap, they have to go through no man's land, and it's just two guys going through no man's land, and it's them trying to get the orders to the end. And I kind of don't want to spoil how it all completely unfolds, but you're right, there's lots of times where it just seems like, if you're watching the trailer, it's just some guy or a couple guys running through things going on. And one of the kind of really fantastic, interesting things that happens in this film is the way that it's shot, and it's done in such a way that there are very few noticeable cuts. In fact, they're not even noticeable. You have to be watching for them. It gives the sensation or the feeling as though it's one continuous single cut that's happening like the whole way through, so that you really feel like it builds up the tension of it. So there have been some movies that have employed this kind of thing. We talked about the movie Birdman with Michael Keaton from a number of years ago. That's another Oscar movie. And you have these very long cuts, or a movie like Gravity with Sandra Bullock and George Clooney, where it's in outer space and they have these extraordinarily long cuts where it just creates this tension. And this is something that you have in this, is that they're on a time crunch and they have to get there in order to save people. And one of the reasons is that this Corporal Blake, his brother is stationed with the troops that are about to fall into the German trap. So he has an incentive to try to get there to save his brother. And then Lance Corporal Schofield, the other guy, it's a little unclear as to what his intentions or what is motivating him to follow through on the delivering of the orders. And they really hold off letting you know what the reasons are for him doing it to the very end. And that again creates tension and intrigue and makes it a kind of an interesting film.
So I'm curious about the technical side of this, because World War I is obviously one of the bloodiest conflicts. It was just a meat grinder for the troops on the front lines. All war is terrible, but World War I, because of the recent technological developments, was especially bad. And battlefields are hard to control. Explosions are hard to...
Yeah, yeah.
Falling missiles and things like that. How much of this was done with practical effects, and how much of it was just the guy in uniform running on a big green soundstage?
Well, I mean, they were shooting it in the location, but they had things where they were using green screens and for certain elements of it. I expected it to be rougher than it turned out to be. Like, I thought that it was going to be harder. Like, I thought that there was going to be more violence. I thought it was going to be more gruesome than it actually was, which I think is kind of interesting. I guess that's personal expectations with this. And a lot of it is going through the no man's land, where there's not very many people there. There's not much going on in that case. And the fear is that you're going to be shot from the other trenches. But those other trenches have been abandoned. So there's lots of periods of the film that are fairly desolate, where it is really just these two guys and they're going through no man's land and they're having conversations and they're kind of, you don't know what's coming next. And that's part of the suspense.
You say that there are two Christian moments in the film.
Yeah, I mean, these are things that are certainly religious Christian moments that'll stick out probably to people. One is, as they're about to leave the trenches to go into no man's land, to go off to deliver these orders, there is this kind of, it's like a half-joking kind of last rite / blessing that's pronounced on the two corporals by the guy who's in charge of that area of the trenches. And it's sort of, just as they're about to embark, it's sort of like gallows humor, but it's also quite, it's sort of sincere, as in terms of a blessing for their success. And it runs along kind of Christian kind of line. So this is the kind of thing you might expect in the trenches of World War I or amongst military guys, where they have to joke because it's so grim. But on the other hand, there is sincere faith and belief there. And that I thought was kind of an interesting thing. And then there's a point later when, like, just in total complete exhaustion, there is a American folk and gospel song, and I won't say which one it is, that kind of emerges, and it's almost in this kind of dreamlike, surreal kind of a scenario, but it ends up kind of providing additional encouragement to continue in the assignment. And I was really happy when that showed up in the course of the film, because it is kind of bleak in a lot of places, and there are spots in there where if it was me and I had this job and I was going along, I would have been praying the Lord's Prayer like with other people and like on my own, like lots. And I was kind of, I felt like there was an absence of that I thought that it should have been there, but it wasn't. But I can see how in the course of the telling of this story in this film, that having it the way that they have with this song, it really punctuates it, and it has a lot more weight, I guess, in a good way, the way that it does get used in the film.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada, titled The Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Next time with Ted, we'll be reviewing the movie The Irishman. When we come back, we'll be talking science with Dr. Jean Edward Veith. Science was not only the child of the Christian worldview, but an ally to Christianity until very recently. Can it still be? We'll find out next.
And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
You can compare what each gospel writer wrote about Jesus and his ministry in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January. It's titled Jesus, A Study of the Words of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Jesus, A Study on the Words of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John costs $14.99. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Jesus, A Study on the Words of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll study the Spirit of Truth, Jesus Leaves His Peace, the True Vine, Greater Love, Hatred, and Persecution. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, as we continue our walk through St. John's Gospel on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
From New York's beautiful Hudson Valley, visit us at the Lutheran Church of Our Redeemer, Peekskill, New York. A small, confessional, conservative Lutheran church with traditional Lutheran liturgical worship, gospel-rich, shenanigan-free. For more information, visit us at ourredeemerlcms.org.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ, teaches St. Paul. But what about those who cannot hear? Can they be saved? The February issue of the Lutheran Witness illuminates this topic and others, including hearing the gospel while singing the faith, how to listen to sermons, and proclaiming the gospel in foreign lands. Come, learn how the church confesses the word in words. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/witness.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I'm delighted to be chairman of Preach the Word Project, a project of our synod to strengthen the preaching of all of us pastors in the synod. We know how eternally important that is.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Fekencher talking about the new Preach the Word Project.
So we've put together a program of 12 modules that will be coming out this year and over the next 3 years on a variety of preaching topics for pastors to do together with two other pastors, two guys they trust, two guys they feel comfortable with, written materials and very fine video quality materials that are now becoming available.
Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching with several resources and by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. Find out more at lcms.org/preachtheword. lcms.org/preachtheword. Preaching is challenging business. We all can use some fresh ideas. lcms.org/preachtheword.